lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 217, stanzas 1 through 4. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of Psalter 217.
Thank you. wish to read out of God's holy and precious word of the gospel according to John chapter 3. But before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 3, the first 15 verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we have with our congregation stood in this week with those who did rejoice and with those who do mourn. And thou knowest each and every one, the heart and all that it contains. Wilt thou look upon those that may be united in that bond of holy matrimony, when Satan does come against that union? And all the parents and husbands and wives that may be among us, also those that are not married, Lord, thou knowest all that Satan does bring in our days, that thou may uphold families, and that thou may give a blessing in the midst of families, that they also may increase, and that thou may bless it for the instruction of children and of youth upon their journey to that great eternity. And when thou takest another one away from the midst of a family, and then the truth of thy holy word is experienced once again. All the rivers run into the sea, and yet the sea is not full. And then the grave never says it is enough. But wilt thou cause us to receive understanding hearts? For we have them not from our side, though we see all men fall beside us. Then it never comes unto us, unless thou wilt come with thy Spirit's power. O Lord, this we beseech of thee this day, and that thou mayest send forth thine arrows in thy house, that there may be miracles in our midst, the miracle of that new birth that is alone from the power of thy most Holy Spirit. Oh, how great was our creation! How high was the place that thou hast given unto man, and how deep we have fallen away from thee, so that there is none that seeketh after thee anymore. And thou hast, O Lord, wrought a great salvation in thy wisdom, and thou hast finished it all upon that cursed tree, so that that payment is so completely made that there is not one jot and one tittle that needs to be added to it. And yet we are so dead. We are so senseless, and we are so steeped in our iniquity, and that there is no man that can see thy beauty, the beauty of Calvary, that there is no man that sees the preciousness of the suffering of thy dear and only begotten Son, except that thou wilt open it unto us. Wilt thou look upon those that are poor and needy? For thou hast them also within thy church of all ages, by the power of thy most Holy Spirit, to strip a man experientially in his own life from all of his own wisdom and from all of his own strength and from all of his own power, from all of his own righteousness, to make it all as filthy rags. But Lord, thou knowest that we can then see no way anymore. And thou knowest the discouragements when there is a desire to walk after thee, and when the heart must experience its wretchedness, its iniquity, and that it is conceived and born in sin, and that it is so incurable. And that thou mayest reveal thyself, O Lord, unto such. May they also be in the midst of us, that thou wouldst work with thy Spirit to open the eyes of such ones who do labor and are heavy laden, and who do hunger and do thirst after righteousness, and who are not yet filled. O, that thou mayest show something of the beauty of thy work, of thy great wisdom in all that thou hast decreed from that great eternity, and what thou hast accomplished in thy dear Son. O Lord, then we cannot see it. Our eyes are blind for it. Then there is a veil over our eyes until that thou dost lift the veil, until that thou dost give light in the midst of the darkness wherein that people do walk, that they may see and that they may believe, and that they may rejoice, that they may glorify and magnify thee, and that thou may lead them into all thy truth, into the preciousness of thy blessed attributes, who and what thou art, for a wretched and a miserable creature, and when it is our own fault, and when all the guilt lies for our own account, and all the foolishness and that is within ourselves. O thou, as that great prophet, wilt thou instruct us, and wilt thou forgive as that great priest, and wilt thou also rule us in thy kingdom, that we may walk according to all thy ways. Give us to bow under thee in all thy providences, for thou knowest the cares that do lay upon this one and that one, as some evident, mostly secret. And then they walk, O Lord, in a way that others cannot see. But thou art everywhere, and thy servant did say, and that if I would make my bed in hell, and then thou art there. Oh, that thou may give a little courage then in discouragement, and give a cry and a prayer to those who have no strength. And wilt thou care for all those that bring thy word, increase their number, and that they may go forth in the midst of the established churches and also upon the mission fields. And thy servant, who may be also on furlough at this time from our own mission field, grant him a little rest. And when he hopes to travel also this way in this week, and wilt thou give traveling mercies, bring him unto his family also here and in BC, and wilt thou help in all the circumstances, and that thou may bring him again to labor on that field and give an increase there, when it also can be a very discouraging way. Remember all those that rule and reign over us. In the times in which we are living, disease is increasing again. Decisions are being made, and we may acknowledge thee, and that we may yet meet again in this way, in this day. Oh, could it please thee to continue it, O Lord, and that thou may supply for them and keep us all from danger, and all those that are in danger in places where there is war, where there have been hurricanes, and where there is much destruction, wilt thou supply as man is not able. And do look upon us as a congregation in this afternoon, and we are gathered round thy word of truth. O Lord, if it is but the words of men, then it shall have no profit. O, we are here before thee, O Lord, and we beseech thee, Could it please thee to touch our hearts, that there may be in this afternoon feelingly and believingly a blessing, thy presence, and a little token of thy indispensable favor, undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 235, all the stanzas. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need. My Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford. I cry to thee. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 235.
Thank you.
congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon can be found in the chapter that was read to you, John 3, and thereof the third verse. John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So far the words of our text. Our theme is the necessity of the new birth. First, the truth of this necessity. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the truth of this necessity. And second, the reason for this necessity, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Thus, the necessity of the new birth, first, the truth of that necessity, and second, the reason for this necessity. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. What is that congregation? Actually, it has a certain form of an oath. Verily, verily, or truly, truly. Thus, there is something that is to be standing beside or behind and supporting the mere words. It is as if then God Himself is called to witness. May we just do that? May we, at any time that we please, call God to witness. Our fathers speak of two times in our catechism. That is, when we are required in a court by a judge to swear an oath, then it is a lawful thing. But it is also possible, they write, that necessity sometimes requires us to confirm fidelity and truth to the glory of God or to the safety of our neighbor. Thus, it is only in very special circumstances and that we are permitted to do this. Otherwise, the apostle says that we must let our yea be yea and our nay be nay. And if we, children, young people, if we will always tell the truth, then everyone around us knows that we tell the truth, and then it is not necessary with things that we say that we have to back them up, to support them, as it were, with any strength of words. And thus we must stand still. Every time that we may read this expression in the Word of God, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, and then we are called to stand still. Because there is something, a truth that the Lord is going to confirm. It is a very significant truth, a cardinal truth. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Who says that? What do we read? Jesus answered and said unto him. Thus it is one thing, if a man will put words behind his words, if he will try to support his words, to swear an oath, to call God to witness. But here we have God Himself. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who is speaking these words. Does He need to support His own words by an oath? Has He ever said a lie? Is He a man that He should lie? Is it necessary then for the Son of God to use such an expression? Certainly, it is not necessary. And yet, there are times that He is pleased to do so. And why? It is not necessary from His side. No, but it is because of the unbelief that is living in the hearts of men. And thus the Lord Himself is pleased to support His words in such a way to bring unto men such a cardinal truth that has been for so many ages disregarded, not believed. Nicodemus does not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is even God. No, he says, "Thou art a teacher come from God." But then he misses the point, doesn't he, children? The Lord Jesus is not just a teacher come from God. No, He is much more than that. He is God Himself. And when Nicodemus will not believe that Christ is God Himself, Nicodemus cannot be saved. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Why does the Lord Jesus say this? What are the circumstances? We read there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus, a Pharisee. And he is coming to Jesus. Oh, yes, we have seen this before. We can read of this in the Word of God, many different places in the Gospels, the Pharisees. Oh, yes, they come. They come to the Lord Jesus, and we know their purpose, because they hate the Lord Jesus. Oh, they have much envy in their heart, and they desire to trap him in his words. They desire to prove that he is wrong, and they are never able to do it. And their enmity that is rising and rising. Was that so also with this Pharisee? No, with this Pharisee, it is different. We read that he came to Jesus by night. The multitudes are gone. Everyone has gone to his own place. And now he is able to come to Christ in private. Do you desire to do the same? We also have a public religion. We come here to the house of God. Everyone can see us. That is good. But do we also have more than this? Do we desire to go in our inner chamber? And do we desire also to come to the Lord Jesus by night when no one else can see us? But he comes, of course, to Christ by night because he is afraid. He is afraid of home. He is afraid of his fellow Pharisees, the scribes, the rulers. Oh, They hate Christ. And if they should know that he is coming to him in a friendly way, he will be ridiculed. He will be mocked. He will be maybe thrown out of the council of their synagogue. How is that with us? Or are we also afraid? Afraid to acknowledge him before all the mocking multitude of this world, with the hatred that there is in the hearts of the world for the truth? Or then are we afraid to confess that we are, yes, a member of that people, that congregation, that denomination that does make such and such a profession? Later it will be different, we know that. Nicodemus, he will come out in the light, and then it needs to mature in the life of Nicodemus, but for now, he is afraid. And yet, he has questions. You have questions. He has questions, and he is drawn. His friends, they mock. His friends, they ridicule. And he has been silent. And he has seen and he has heard. And there's something that draws him. But he is so ignorant. He does not know the way. And yet, oh, something. There is something there that Nicodemus sees. How is that in your heart, young people? When all the world mocks, then are you sometimes quiet? Oh, is there in your heart that you say, oh, there is something. There is a truth there. And yet I am so ignorant. Do you ever go on your knees and say, oh Lord, wilt thou instruct me? Wilt thou teach me in that truth? The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. We know. He does not say, I know. No, he says, we know. Who is that? We. Well, that is him, but that is more than him. Yeah, then he speaks actually for those other Pharisees, for the scribes, for the Jewish people. We know, he says. Actually, we all know. He speaks in a very general way. And how do we know? He says, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So how do they know? They have seen the miracles. They have seen the miracles with their very own eyes. And there is no other explanation that they have for those miracles except that God be with him. That is so evident. That is so evident that he says that we all know it. Those other Pharisees too, actually. We all know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man is able to deny this. That is something. That is really something. What a confession. The Pharisees hated the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read just before this, the Lord Jesus, he has gone in the temple and he has cast out the buyers and the sellers. Oh, then he has cleansed his father's house, which the Pharisees and the scribes did not do. He puts them in their place and they cannot do anything about it. And their hatred that is still increasing and increasing. And yet, they cannot deny what they see. Cannot deny what you see either, right? Seeing, we say, that is believing. That is the way that it is also with them. There is only one explanation, and that he must be a teacher come from God. Now, congregation, we would like to ask you a question. Why is it they have seen it with their own eyes? They have in their minds, they are not able to reject that fact that he is sent from God. Now a question. Why do they not believe in him? Why do they not acknowledge him? Who he is? That he is the Messiah that was sent from God? Why then do they not love him? Why do they not preach his name? The mind cannot reject it. That is now the question that the Lord Jesus answers in our text. He's going to answer this question. It is not asked of him, but he knows what it is. And what does he say? Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And so we saw first the truth of that necessity. Verily, verily, and that is spoken by the Son of God himself. And then we see in our second thought the reason for this necessity. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Later, we read that the Lord Jesus says to the Pharisees, "He that is of God heareth his words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." Ye therefore hear them not. Ye therefore hear not the words of God. Why do you not hear the words of God? Well, maybe because you are not educated. Maybe because you are not intelligent. No. He says, you do not hear the words of God because ye are not of God. That is very simple. He says that is now the root. That is the root of the problem. He says, a man can say, "I am a teacher come from God," because he sees all of those evidences. And a man can make a very, very nice profession of who that I am. But that will not make him hear my words. No, he will never hear my words. Yes, he will hear them with the ears. And he will hear them, and it will come into his mind, yes. But he will never hear my words. He will never receive my words into his heart. He will never. He can never. Why not? Because there is a fundamental problem. A fundamental problem. He does not just need to be persuaded. He does not just need a little more education. He doesn't need just a little more instruction, no. He needs to be born again. He needs a new beginning. He needs a very new foundation. What is it that Christ addresses in these words? He addresses something which is denied, has been denied ever since the fall of man, and continues to be denied also in our days. That is the depth of our fall. He addresses the total depravity of mankind, even of religious persons, even of a man who has a very good profession. There is a reason, congregation, that our fathers, in their writings, in their sermons, that they have come back time and time again in our denomination to the necessity of the new birth. Why? Because there is so much skipping over this foundational matter, just like Nicodemus. But it is not something we can overlook. And if we have skipped it, Christ says, Nicodemus, we go back. We go back. You come with a nice profession of me, but wait a moment. Something has to happen in the life of a man. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Thus he speaks about a child that is born into this world. That is the beginning, the very beginning of that new life. We say conception, yes. We don't make a distinction here. We talk about the beginning of life. Here it is speaking about the birth. That is a very special thing. When a new child is brought into this world, what does a child have that is so special? He has a soul. A soul, parents. You ever think about that? You care so much for their bodies. You fear so much for their bodies, but they have a soul. And now that soul, that makes him a person. He is not an animal. He's not a plant. Oh, he is a person. That is not agreed by the world today, that there is a difference between a person and an animal. They say that is just another stage of growth. No, the scriptures tell us, and our own perceptions tell us, that there is a great difference between a man and an animal. They have a soul. But what is a soul? What is a soul? What is a soul exactly? What is it that distinguishes a person from an animal? That is not an easy question. Because a soul is not a physical thing, like our bodies, but a soul is a spiritual thing. Thus we know that our bodies were created first, And then we can read that the Lord has breathed into the nostrils of Adam's body, and that he became a living soul. So what does that mean? A soul that is indivisible. It cannot be divided. What is death? Death is separation. And a soul that is one has no parts. That is why a soul cannot be separated from, and it cannot be divided within itself. What does that mean? That means that a soul cannot die. A soul that we say has three parts? No. But there are three what we call faculties of the soul. That is, three aspects or three different operations or things that the soul does in its oneness altogether. Three things. That is, first, the mind, that the soul thinks, that the soul reasons. We will point children to our head. In the second place, there is the will. That is, that our soul makes choices. I will point children to the heart. That is the person where he make a choice from. In the third place, the soul has affections. I will point to my belly, because it is the intestines. We read that Joseph's bowels yearned upon his brethren. Thus we have the mind and the will and the affections. They are all not parts, no, three aspects, three faculties of the soul of man. And now that will, that makes choices. You make choices. Young people, you make choices. We all make choices because we are human beings. That is not like the animal. Oh, the animals, they do not think and then make a choice, no. They just have an instinct, and they go by their instinct. But that is now different with man. So how does a man make a choice? How do you choose things? Say, well, we see things with our eyes. Our senses, we hear, we touch, we smell, it all comes. We have knowledge also in our mind already, an innate knowledge. So we get knowledge in our mind, and we reason with our mind. We make judgments with our mind, and then we make a decision. Thus, Pharaoh dreams. And the magicians, they are helpless. They do not know. Joseph is called. And then Pharaoh hears from Joseph the meaning of his dream. And he makes a judgment in his mind. He says, that is wisdom. That is a wise man. And then what does he do? After that reasoning and asking all his counselors, do you ask counselors, young people? You ask counselors? That's what kings do. They ask counselors. They don't just make their own decisions. That is called humility. That is why you have a father and mother. Never forget that. And then Pharaoh, he makes a decision. Makes a choice. Says, that man, he is going to rule that whole country for me. So how does that work? Our will that receives from our mind, and then that will makes a decision. Sons of the prophets, the place is too straight for us. What do they do? What options do we have? They reason, make a judgment, make a choice. We're going to go to the woods, and we're going to chop down wood, and we're going to make the place larger so that we can live. Thus, the will of man follows his understanding. That's not hard to understand. The will of man follows his understanding. Now another question. Why did Joab slay Abner? Why did Joab slay Abner? Did Joab know the commandments? Did he know it was sinful? Did he not know that the Lord says, "Thou shalt not kill"? Why did he do it? Did his will follow his understanding? Why did Judas betray Christ? Did Judas not know that was sinful? Why did he do it anyway? Did the will of Judas follow his understanding? It did not. It did not. No, Joab reasoned and reasoned, and he knew the commandment of the Lord, and he knew it was wrong. Why did he do it? Envy. Envy. So there was something that interrupted his reasonings. Something that was stronger than his conscience, his reasonings, interrupted it. Why did Judas do it? He knew it was wrong in his mind. You know it is sometimes too, right, children, young people? You know it is wrong sometimes in your mind. Judas did too. So what made him decide in his will to do it? You say, covetousness. Yes? Covetousness. And that covetousness was stronger than the reasonings of his mind. So now you see, is it true that our will always follows our understanding? Say no. Does not always follow our understanding. What is the difference in the kinds of decisions that we just spoke about? Pharaoh, Joseph on the throne, the sons of the prophets expand their place of living, or Joab slay Abner, Judas betray Christ. What is now the difference? You see that the second ones, they are moral. They are moral decisions. There is a right and there is a wrong. That was not true of Pharaoh. That was not true of the sons of the prophets. And when there was nothing moral in it, yes, then our choices, they follow our mind. But now, when there is something moral, morality, then our will is not following our mind anymore, as it ought to, but it is not. Do you know what it is following? It is following our disposition. Our disposition. You say, what is that now? Our disposition. That is not hard. We have a nature and we have a disposition. The disposition of a man is his predominant, his prevailing tendency. It is not the same thing as our nature. You have a cow, you have cows on the farms, boys and girls, and they're all cows. And they all have that same nature. Now you can ask the farmers, and they will say, I go by that one. I will not go by that one. Why not? Because one is very aggressive, and another one is calm. So there is somewhat of a comparison in that way. Also to the disposition of man. The nature of man was not lost in our fall. When man fell, he remained a human being. He did not become a horse or a dog or a cow, no. He retained his human nature. What happened to him then? His disposition changed. He didn't lose the human nature, but there was a change in his disposition which belongs to that human nature. Thus, he was created with a disposition that leaned unto, that loved the Lord in everything. It was not possible that our first parents would have sinned, except there was some outward temptation. There was nothing that was within the disposition of man in his creation that leaned toward and that desired to sin against God. What has happened in the fall? Not that he lost his nature, but he lost that good disposition, that loved, that desired, and that served the Lord with all his might, with all his soul, and with all his strength. And that tree of man that began to lean in exactly the opposite way. So that his disposition of that same human nature is now evil. There is nothing in that disposition that desires the Lord anymore. But everything in it that is leaning unto sin, so that his nature has become entirely corrupt. Our catechism calls it proneness. Read that in Lord's Day 2 when you come home. Because there we read that I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. Prone. That does not mean just leaning a little bit in that direction, no. But our fathers are speaking about the disposition of man. That he is a fallen creature. And that his entire human nature has become morally corrupt. Thus, when our will is going to make decisions or choices concerning moral things, it is not following what our mind says is right. What is it following? It is following what our disposition says, I want. And what does our disposition say, I want? It says, I want sin. Because I love sin. Because sin is my life. Because sin is dear to my heart, thus our will. That is choosing sin. Even when our mind, even when our conscience is telling us, no, that is against the law of the Lord. Why? Because our heart, our disposition loves sin. Then we are in our element. That is the total, total depravity and corruption of mankind. Let us sing Psalter 140, stanzas 2 and 3. My transgressions I confess, grief and guilt my soul oppress. I have sinned against thy grace, and provoked thee to thy face, I confess. And thy judgment just, speechless, I thy mercy trust. 2 and 3 of Psalter 140.
Thank you.
I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And thus, I think I can ask you, children, what do you think? What do you think it means now to be born again? And then I think you will say to me, I think that means that a person receives from the Lord a new heart. That is right. That is right. It is a new disposition, a new bent, a new leaning. That is as it was in creation, a little beginning. As it was in creation, that tree begins to lean once again, not in the way of sin, but after the Lord. And now that disposition, that is, as it were, the base, and that is affecting our affections and our mind and our will. That new disposition that affects our affections. In other words, we say that we begin to love the things that before we hated. They are our affections. And we begin to hate the things that before we loved. That is that new disposition that is affecting our affections. And that new disposition is also affecting our minds. It is affecting our reasonings. Because all those reasonings are now coming under a new light. Just like when a child is born into this world. And that it opens its eyes in a new world. And so this new disposition that brings a man into a new world with a new light, and all the reasonings of his mind, they are now going round within that new light. A depraved mind is a mind that is subject to the prejudices of that evil disposition. It reasons away that law of God. It says, I know that that law is true, but we will just say that we sold the land for so much. Why? Covetousness. But now that new light, then it sees sin as sin. And then it says, and that new affection that begins to hate that sin. And so the reasonings, they are not being interrupted as they were before, by that sinful disposition and the will that makes the choices, that is the heart. What does that begin to do? It begins to make new choices. And that will, you say, what does it follow? In the moral things, does it follow the mind? Oh, that will. That follows the disposition in the moral things. It is following now what the disposition sees as good. That is God. That is His law. That is commandments. That is holiness. Yes. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into see the kingdom of God. Impossible. Why? Because it is a kingdom of holiness. Holiness. We cannot enter into that kingdom. We cannot see the kingdom with a disposition that is bent on sin. We can reform our life. We can sometimes make choices in our minds, even with a sinful disposition. Sometimes we can still make choices with our will, following our mind. Why? Why do we sometimes make right choices with a sinful disposition? Why do we sometimes do that? Because we have other motives. That is all that is. Different motives, they are warring against each other. Isn't that right, children? Sometimes you say, well, I'm not going to do it because, well, not because it's sinful, but because I don't want Father to find out. Oh, it's another motive. You did what was right. Not because your disposition was good. Not because your heart was good. You did it because you did not want to be punished. Or we want to look good in front of everyone else, and so we make a good decision. That does not come, and nor does it change the disposition of our heart. It is possible with Nicodemus that we make a confession, that we say, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. And we can believe it. But Christ sees right through it. He sees right through it. No, Nicodemus, that is not enough. Our testimony does not change our nature, our disposition. Our actions do not change our disposition. Our choices, the choices of our will, they do not change our disposition. But that disposition needs to be changed, Nicodemus. And there is only one way that the disposition can be changed. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is the Son of God himself. Why? The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And what did he see? They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. But we don't believe it. Or do you believe it? We don't believe it. The natural man does not believe it. We say we are not that bad. O congregation, how is it? Why is it that an unregenerate person cannot enter into that kingdom of God? Do you know why? Because Christ, he says, I am the door. And because there is no other door, there is no back door. Christ, he says, I am the door. But we hate him. We hate him. Do you believe that? Do you believe there is enmity in your heart against the Son of God, the mediator between God and man? It is so. In the first place, we hate holiness. What is holiness? Separation from sin. Separation from sin. How can we love it if our disposition seeks it? If our disposition is evil, it is bent on it. Pharisees were very religious people. The Lord Jesus says, "You are whited sepulchres. You appear clean on the outside, but within." Within. What did he mean? Within. What is within? The heart. The bent. The bent. The disposition. The leaning. Everything. The proneness. Pharisees, it is all bent on sin. Why would such a man seek Christ? What has he come to do? To deliver from sin. Why would such a man with such a disposition seek to be delivered from that which he loves? Why would such a man desire to walk with him? Judas tried for a little while, but it did not last. Because a man, he cannot be in a fundamental disagreement with himself. He can do that for a little while, but it cannot remain. Thomas Shepherd writes that the power of reason, the power of my mind, would never carry me against my own will, my own disposition, my own desires. My mind cannot carry me against that, because that is me, and I am always pursuing it. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No, Nicodemus, you need a new heart. You need a new disposition. You need a new birth. Do you hate sin? I am not just a teacher come from God, Nicodemus. I am God. I am God. And what did I come to do? I come to save my people, Nicodemus, from their sins. Do you hate sin, Nicodemus? Oh, that is the new disposition. If we may, next week, we hope to speak a little more about that new disposition. But congregation, what is now the first thing that the Spirit of the Lord, in the application of the work of Christ, what is now the first thing that the Spirit of the Lord is busy doing? He is busy to show a man the reality of his heart, to make a man become a sinner before God. Did you ever become a sinner before God? Paul, he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus has come into this world in order to save sinners. He says, of whom I am the chief. That is now what the Spirit of the Lord teaches a man. Because if we never become a sinner before God, then he did not come into the world to save us. Because he came into the world to save sinners. And if he came not to save us, then we are lost. Then we are lost forever and forever. Oh, examine your own heart. What is the disposition of our heart? What is the predominant? What is the prevailing tendency of our soul? Do we ever seek to know it? Ask the Lord to show it. Ask the Lord to show unto you his holiness, his perfect holiness, and his hatred of sin, that we may abhor ourselves in dust and in ashes before the Lord. Seek to know his law. What is holiness? Holiness. Obedience to his law. Seek to know that law. Seek to know that covenant, the reality of the covenant in which that we are. What is that covenant? Are we in the covenant yet in which we have been born? That is a covenant of works. Holiness. Broken. Seek to know this, that there may be room for another covenant. A covenant of grace, free and sovereign grace, whereby a sinner can be saved. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is just a few words, but it is thy own truth. Bring it in our hearts. O give us true godly sorrow, for thou hast created us so holy, so good, and so high, and we have fallen so deeply. Oh, that we may see and feel, and that thou may give unto us life, and that thou may breathe into our nostrils that breath of life, and that we might live that spiritual life. Dismiss us with thy blessing, and give thy word a place in our hearts. And wilt thou keep us in the week to come, each one, in all the labors that are laid upon us in this life. Care for our teachers and all the administration in our school, the children that are educated there and elsewhere, and wilt thou be near and dear unto each and every one for Jesus' sake. Amen. 364, 1 through 4. From out the depths I cry to thee, O let thy ear attentive be. Hear thou my supplicating plea. Have mercy, Lord. 1 through 4 of 364. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.